Good evening. Wonderful to have you all joining us here at Wheat Ridge Evangelical Lutheran Church for evening prayer. We're going to follow evening prayer if you've got hymnals at home. That is found in your LSB on page 243. And then also we're going to be chanting the psalm, Psalm 4, and that's at the front of your hymnal as well. So evening prayer on page 243. And then the psalm, Psalm 4. We'll also do two different hymns, and I'll let you know what those hymns are going to be before we get there. Let us begin. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. The light no darkness can overcome. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening. And the day is almost over. Let your light scatter the darkness and illumine your church. Joyous light of glory of the immortal Father, heavenly, holy, blessed Jesus Christ, we have come to the setting of the sun, and we look to the evening light. We sing to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are worthy of being praised with pure voices forever. O Son of God, O giver of life, the universe proclaims your glory. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who led your people Israel by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Enlighten our darkness by the light of your Christ. May his word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. For you are merciful and you love your whole creation. And we, your creatures, glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We turn to Psalm 4. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We continue on page 247. Let us pray. Let the incense of our repentant prayer ascend before you, O Lord, and let your loving kindness descend on us, that with purified minds we may sing your praises with the church on earth and the whole heavenly host, and may glorify you forever. Amen. Our first reading for this evening comes from Romans chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. Our second reading comes from John chapter 4. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman from Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealing with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. We now turn to our first hymn, hymn 756, 756, Why Should Cross and Trial Grieve Me? Why should cross and trial grieve me? Christ is near with his cheer, never will he leave me. Who can rob me of the heaven that God's Son for me won when his life was given? When life's troubles rise to meet me, though their weight may be great, they will not defeat me. God, my loving Savior, sends them. He who knows all my woes knows how best to end them. God gives me my days of gladness, and I will trust him still when he sends me sadness. God is good, his love attends me. Day by day, come what may, guides me and defends me. From God's joy can nothing sever, for I am his dear lamb, he my shepherd ever. I am his because he gave me his own blood for my good, by his death to save me. Now in Christ death cannot slay me, though it might day and night trouble and dismay me. Christ has made my death a portal from the strife of this life to his joy immortal. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this third midweek of Lent comes from our gospel reading. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Thus far the text. Jesus is having a conversation with that sort of woman. You know the type. She's the type of woman that all the other women in town look down at. She's the type of woman that all the men look out at the corner of their eyes at so that their wives don't catch them staring. She's the type of woman who comes to the well in the middle of a noonday sun because this is the only time that she is certain that the well is going to be deserted. Unfortunately, or perhaps, as we will see, fortunately, there is someone sitting beside the well. "Give me a drink," Jesus says. Already this is breaking down those unwritten societal barriers and rules that exist between a man and a woman, a Jew and a Samaritan, a good person and an obviously evil one. The woman is surprised. Surprised to see someone there. Surprised that that someone is a man, a Jewish man. Surprised that he is asking her for a drink of water. No self-respecting Jew would ever ask this of a Samaritan, let alone a Samaritan woman who's wearing the scarlet letter. And right off the bat, we should see something important here. Not that Jesus is just being nice to someone that he shouldn't be. That's all fine and good. That's something that even you and I should do, are required to do in the fifth commandment. But here we see that Jesus is the type of man who doesn't seem to be shamed by sinners. In fact, it's sinners that Jesus seeks out. It's sinners that Jesus wants to hang out with and dine with and go over to their house, and yes, even to share a drink of water with at a well. Jesus is different. Not because he's kind, but because he makes righteous and worthy and shameless through his own word, through the water that he gives, through himself. Jesus said, "If you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for a drink of water." And the woman's response is much the same as Nicodemus's response when Jesus talks about being born again, being born from above. The rational takes over, and she declares, "But you don't even have a bucket. And the well's deep. You can't draw from the well. Besides, didn't you just ask me for a drink?" Ah, if she knew who she was talking to. Jesus is the one who supplies her with everything that she has. Jesus is the one, every single day, who gives to her everything that she needs. House and home, land and animals, food and drink, even the very water from this well. Jesus is the one who gives to her, gives to us, everything that we need to support this body and life. If she even knew that much, she would be asking him for a drink. But he continues and says that whoever receives a drink from him will never thirst again. And of course, her mind races to the implications of that. Not only would she not have to run to this stupid well every single day to fetch water, but she wouldn't have to deal with all of those sideways glances from all of those better people who know her to be a sinful woman, know her to be someone that they're glad they are not, know that she is someone who's covered in shame. If she could just have all of that removed from her life, how wonderful would that be? And here again, we can see how this woman at the well is like each and every single one of us, especially today. In the midst of this corona outbreak, where earthly needs are being stretched thin, our thoughts immediately go to our physical needs. And that's not to say that that is bad. We should care for our bodies. We should take care of the needs of those around us. But just like Jesus told us from our gospel reading on Sunday, we shouldn't worry about what we're going to eat or drink or about what we're going to wear. Our Heavenly Father knows all of our needs and provides for them even before we ask. What good does worrying do? How can being anxious about tomorrow, being anxious about even today, add one single moment to our life? Amazingly, in our first reading, our epistle reading for tonight, we're told that we should rejoice in sufferings. That's truly an odd thing, rejoice in sufferings. But for the Christian, what better thing can be done? To rejoice in our sufferings means that we have faith that God won't necessarily take away sufferings, but will provide for us even in the midst of suffering. He will give us food like he does all of the birds of the air, and he'll clothe us with robes finer than that Solomon wore. And more importantly, he works good through this evil, through sufferings, even through the coronavirus. For suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. And it's the shame part that we should really be focusing on here. For shame is what this woman at the well had that covered her. It's what caused her to come to the well at noon. And shame, it's what we all experience, even right now, today. For even though that we know that God will provide for us, we all have that small bit, or probably that rather large bit, of doubt that he won't. It's the shame of our sin that hangs on us and covers us from head to foot. We might not even have the right language to use, but we all know that it's there. We can feel that it's there. It's this sin of unbelief, the sin and the shame that it brings, that really needs to be dealt with. And then we meet Jesus at this well of ours, just hanging out there, almost as if he was waiting for us to show up, almost as if he knew that we would eventually be there. And there we are, looking to the well to fix it all, looking to the things of this earth to make us confident, looking for comfort in the things of creation, hoping that they can deal with shame and sin and guilt and death. And Jesus, he lays it all out bare. Nothing's hidden. He knows every single last thing about our life, knows that we have had 5 husbands before, and the man that we live with today is not our betrothed. He knows that we've been doubting his care for us every single day of our lives, not to mention the last week or so. He knows that we continually look to the unknown of tomorrow, and that we can't stop worrying about it as we drift off to sleep. And we can't stop it from being the very first thing on our mind when we wake up in the morning. He knows it all. He uncovers the shame. He speaks every last sin into the light, because it's only then and there that it can be dealt with. And then instead of saying, "You better get on with it. This water isn't going to draw itself. You better start doing the things that are required of you in order to remove the shame and the sin that covers you, in order to fix your life." Instead of saying all of that, he says, "I have a drink for you." It's a crazy thing that takes place. One that doesn't make much sense, but then again, what makes much sense in our life today? But our Lord offers to us, right in the midst of our shame, right as we are at the well at noon trying to shed the shame ourselves, trying to fix the situation ourselves, trying to make everything right, trying to get rid of our sin, right then, right there, right now, he offers us living water that springs up to eternal life. Down the hatchet goes, body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, spoken into us, the eternal word that proclaims salvation and life and an end to shame. Washed over us is the living water of baptism, each and every single new day, drowning that old Adam of ours that has once again found himself covered in shame and seeking salvation from a well that will make us thirsty again. And then Jesus raises up us up, this new Adam that's buried in Christ's death, and raised to new life in his resurrection. This living water that is ours, even right now ours, as we listen to this message in the confines of our own homes, it's a living water that gives eternal life. The days and the weeks and months ahead look uncertain, they're scary, and they're fraught with terror, but the Lord has them all under his feet. And our victory, our hope, our comfort is not that we'll make it to next year unscathed, but instead that no matter what tomorrow brings, we have the victory over everything in Christ. And that ultimate victory was won on the cross and proclaimed from the resurrection. That ultimate victory is given to you in word and sacrament. That ultimate victory is promised to you, that even if you die tomorrow, you shall live forever. For Christ lives. And so shall you. We've come to the well for water and have been given something greater. We have been given Christ. Therefore, we should leave the well in sure confidence and hope that all sin and shame has been taken from us and eternal life is ours. But even now, in this veil of tears, we're going to find ourselves back at the well next month, next week, tomorrow, even again tonight. No matter, Christ will still be there, and he'll still have the same conversation with us again. He doesn't care if it's the first time or the millionth. He will say, "I have something to give to you to drink, and it's living water. And this living water will cover your shame, take away your sin, and give you eternal life. Here it is. Here am I. For you." In the name of Jesus, amen. We turn again in our hymnals page 248 for the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from this day all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things to me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. In peace let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For Matthew and Roger, for all pastors in Christ, for all servants of the church, and for all the people, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For Donald, for all public servants, for the government and those who protect us, that they may be upheld and strengthened in every good deed, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For those who work to bring peace, justice, health, and protection in this and every place, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For those who bring offerings, those who do good works in this congregation, those who toil, those who sing, and all the people here present who await from the Lord great and abundant mercy, Let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For favorable weather, for an abundance of the fruits of the earth, and for peaceful times, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For our deliverance from all affliction, wrath, danger, and need, let us pray to the Lord, have mercy. For the faithful who have gone before us and are with Christ, let us give thanks to the Lord. Thanks be to God. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Rejoicing in the fellowship of all the saints, let us commend ourselves, one another, and our whole life to Christ our Lord. To you, O Lord. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Amen. We conclude with our final hymn 878. Abide with me, 878. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me. I need thy presence every passing hour. What but thy grace can for the tempter's power, who like thyself my guide and stay can be. Through cloud and sunshine, O abide with me. Come not in terrors as the King of Kings, but kind and good with healing in thy wings. Tears for all woes, a heart for every plea. Come, friend of sinners, thus abide with me. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. I fear no foe, with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight, and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life and death, O Lord, abide with me.
The Lord be with you.